Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Cardboard Cave. Sorry, the last this Wednesday we didn't have our podcast due to some electrical issues with the cast members. There was a lot of issues this week in the west side of our great island that all the time, every time, every day, there's an issue with the power. But hey, we still got you guys because we are doing the episode tonight as well. Don't forget, we still don't have the little clip, but don't forget, remember that you guys can go ahead and support us as well going to altersleeves.com. If you go to altersleeves.com, it's very easy. If you guys love to spice up your commander, just go ahead, go to that link, or just go to the website. And as soon as you finish your order, before you check out, go ahead and just put Cardboard Cave and you'll get 5% off your order. And as well, guys, this will help us as well grow as a podcast. So don't forget, just go ahead, altersleeves.com. The link is on the top if you guys want to use our affiliated link, or as well, just go ahead and use Cardboard Cave at checkout. And in the future, remember, like I mentioned, this is still in the works, trying to find a good website to do this. But if you guys want your shirts or MTG shirts, we do have a couple. If you guys are interested in some of them, we have here two examples. Just go ahead, go to Endface, and in the future, we will have our Teespring or Stream Element merch website. So now, further ado, let's go ahead and present one of our planeswalkers, the one and only, the master of the goblins, Chris.
Hey guys. I didn't expect my face to be so big, like just starting out with like a huge face like that. But like, how you been, John? How's everything been? How's that? How do you feel about the current state of things in the magic? I don't know what to call it at this point, but like, let's call it the el ambiente, como se dice, like
the ambiance, or
no, not
the
ambiance, like the,
it's not ambiance. I know it's
like right at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
Like environment, God. Like the
environment,
the environment.
Go.
Like how are things looking to you so far?
So honestly, since the episode is going to have a little bit of everything, we're going to have spoilers, and as well, we're going to talk about something very interesting that Chris got to our attention. That is, we did talk about the earnings, but we did not talk about it like in full fledged, because when that podcast happened, that is when a couple of weeks later, we got that influx that in the next few sets, we're going to see an 11% increase in product cost. And we still, again, it's very confusing because there's more to that. Because I want to go ahead, I have to look for the picture. I totally forgot to look for the picture. I already have it here. But in regards to the same subject, this is what, there's more to it that does not make sense, because if they're doing that increase, why the heck we're not getting good products? Not good products, but why are we receiving mediocre
card stock? It's just the quality of the card stock has just been declining over the past few years. I think that, you know, without romanticizing the past, right, we've always noticed a change in the quality of cardboard with, like, you know, the sets that kept coming out, especially when you had that transition. I think it was like somewhere around OG Theros, where they were still using like the older foiling method.
Yeah.
Like, you compare those foils from back then and they just seem unbendable. Like, you'll get them in the mail, like here in Puerto Rico with this humid weather, you just leave them lying about and they're like,
exactly,
nothing.
You leave
some of the new cards. Yeah, exactly. Like, you leave new cards out in the open like that, like not even in Puerto Rico, like even in drier climates, like last time I went to California, granted, was like about a year or two ago, right? But I had some Magic cards with me and I opened some boosters, and since it was just like, you know, commons and uncommons, I just kind of carelessly left them on top of my desk. And even in dry climate, those things managed to curl. And to me, that's kind of mind-blowing, because that just didn't happen before, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it happened, it was like an extreme situation, like you stored them in like a closet or something and they got like all like messed up because like humidity. But I don't know. Like, it's
I really
not
don't
just
know.
But like, you know, I'm sorry, kind of ranting on here, but like,
it's fine. Don't worry about it. You're gonna keep ranting when we show this.
Oh, yeah.
This is an article that Chris sent to us. This is partially old. This is from last month, but still, it's still relevant for the numbers, because it says first quarter. Where's the WTC section?
The WTC section is kind of down. Like,
there it is.
Kind of in a few, but look at that. That's insane. Like, I do want to like mention here for our viewers, like, that isn't $41. That's like, I think is that 41 million? Yeah, $41 million. Yeah. Like, that's, yeah, 41.3107, like, all that stuff. That is millions of dollars, my guys.
Yes. So the thing is that gets me interested.
Wait.
Yes.
No, wait. Don't move power too much. Wait. Peppa Pig. Hold on. Oh, okay. No, I got like scared for a second. I thought this was like magic
execution
related. It's like,
am I
going to get a Peppa Pig secret lair? Like, I was actually kind of excited. I don't know, man.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about, let's just put that here, like, that everybody whoever's watching us can see the numbers. So we do see numbers here, numbers that we're talking about, that quarter one, Wizard of the Coast and digital gaming. So that's including Arena and TGO there. And obviously, remember, guys, if you are, there's Puzzle Quest, there's other games that people still play in their mobile phones, that if they buy you know, the little gems or whatnot, that's included in digital gaming. So if first quarter of 2022, that's 262.8 million dollars.
Yeah.
So that's a high number.
That's just in the first quarter. The thing that I'm not 100% sure on, because I honestly, for the most part, skimmed like a lot of the article and only just got kind of the juice of it. But I do want to like point out, is when it says Wizards of the Coast and digital gaming, does this include like paper magic, or is it, or is, was that just
the
digital segment?
I think that they're including Wizard of the Coast. I think it means like Wizard of the Coast as the paper magic, and then digital gaming should be like the everything that's digital in Wizard of the Coast.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that they group those two together like that. But
yeah,
now that I think about it, like,
but
Hasbro has quite a few properties. I'm kind of surprised that they are just lumping them together like that.
Yeah, probably they're just doing it just like, because you know that these are articles that are mostly for investors or people that want to futurely invest and whatnot. But what gets me intriguing is, let's going back to the topic that was like, I think a couple of weeks ago we had a podcast as same as this one, that we talk about that 11% increase of products and it means in prices. And the thing is that nobody is happy about it, you know. Nobody in the area of the Magic the Gathering community is happy. Yes, we are happy because if you guys were, I think it's episode 12, if I'm not mistaken, or 13, we're getting back to OG Magic. You know, we're getting our Grand Prix again. We're getting our big events. We're getting our store championships. That they're doubling down on the promos for it right now. I really don't know if our local game store is doing it. If somebody can figure it out from our group, so tell JP to ask, like, that we can know.
Actually, yeah, that's a great idea.
But right, Wizard of the Coast did announce that if you, even at your local game store, you buy over $50 in product, they will give you a soul ring with the old school border, and it's foil as well. The soul ring art is the one that has been reprinted so many times, but still, it's an old school frame soul ring. And it's only just you guys going to your local game store and getting a commander or buying a bunch of booster packs. So it pick your poison, I would say, you know. But even though with all of these announcements of everything like OG Magic coming back, you're telling us, the people that consume your product, that from a certain set on, it will have an 11% increase of cost. And then you give us numbers that say that Wizard of the Coast made more money than what you expected in your, I think it was in the 5-year range.
Yeah.
They have made more money for Hasbro than I think that they were stipulating.
Yeah.
But this is where I'm getting at. The most recent set, let me go ahead and remove this and go ahead and close this. The most recent set is the Streets of New Capenna. This is the set that everybody was super excited about. The gilded foil that were skyrocket prices, especially Obnixilis, is still in a high price if you have that gilded foil Obnixilis. But there's an issue. Commanders are coming with repeated cards, with one, two of the same card. They're not playable. But this is the most interesting part. This happened to somebody in Puerto Rico.
Before you get into that, like I do want to reiterate, like
go ahead for
anyone who either is starting to get into Magic the Gathering and isn't familiar with Commander product and stuff like that, I do want to reiterate, the whole point of Commander product is for it to be playable out of the box.
Yep.
So you are, it's almost borderline false advertisement for you to sell these Commander decks and for them not to be playable out of the box, not to be legal, like Commander legal out of the box. To me, that's insane. Like that's like the bare minimum. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
your bare minimum is for your product to be usable, to be playable once you open that shit up. And we're not getting that.
No.
Like, true, let's say that it's even like, you know, definitely there isn't a majority of people who this is happening to, but it's happening. It's happening too often. The problem isn't the fact that, you know, it happened to one or two people. The problem here is that we're constantly getting just straight up fuck ups from Wizards of the mm-hmm. Coast's quality like department. Like, where's your quality department? I think that, like, in past years, the complaint, like, you know, with the release of back in Eldraine and stuff like that, like, the biggest question, like, that we had was, like, yo, where is research and development? Like, what are these guys doing? Now we raise a different question. It's, where is Wizards of the Coast quality, like, control department? Where? Because we clearly haven't seen them doing their job. Exactly. The other day, I went into one of those, miscuts and misprints website. There was a card. I mean, imagine I take this soldier token. Imagine instead of being a soldier token, let's say it's something expensive, or maybe something just that's worth more than a booster. Than a booster. In this case,
let's just put it's an Emrakul.
And imagine that the borders of this card, which is a token, but it's a card now, right? It still had like the marking of like where they like marked the card. Like, there was a straight edge on it.
Oh wow.
Like, yeah, so it was like right off of the sheet essentially, and it was folded like this inside of a booster, inside of like a booster pack. It was folded up like this, and it had like another thing like sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from a collector's standpoint, that's kind of cool. I mean,
exactly.
Because of the value we've given misprints like this, that's pretty cool. Like, but it's only cool when this doesn't happen often. If every time I'm going to open up a booster, I have to like cross my fingers and pray that it isn't a defective one, I just don't think that that's the point of the point of the game, like the product mm-hmm. you're selling. And on top of that, the quality of the cardboard, like we mentioned before, has gone way down. Like, how is Wizards of the Coast justifying an 11% increase in product?
No, exactly.
Because your secret layer, I'm sorry to interrupt, dude. I just gotta get it out. I just gotta get it out. Like, your secret layer product is always arriving late. I don't think there's been a single edition of Secret Layer that's arrived on time, because even the first one had like a delay, if I'm not mistaken.
Even the Godzilla ones had a delay.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I was part of that one. Like,
your specialty product is supposed to be like essentially the product that you sell your whales, because that's essentially what at the end of the day Secret Layer kind of is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is always delayed. Like, you would think that your premium product is the thing that you would, up to a certain point, have a certain focus on and make sure that it comes out, you know, like, good. Now I'm just wondering if they're just messing up so bad in the printing that it slows down the process because they're actually doing quality control on their secret layer, maybe. Or I don't know if you've like heard any news of people getting miscuts and misprints in secret layer. That'd be insane.
I have heard that they have been getting misprints. You know, either the ink is like all blurry, or the card is blurry, or the little diamond that it's on the bottom, it's like in another corner.
That. Like chipped or something. I've seen that.
To move.
That's the thing. Eventually, a lot of this stuff, I'm not saying that it's going to be like, you know, that's going to be worthless, but a lot of this stuff is going to drop in value because it's going to become too common.
Yep. That what I was trying to say is that we already got in the previous set in Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, the second commander, not Shorokai, the other one, the equipment one, had a land that was doubled and it was unplayable
out of the box.
Obviously, if anybody that just wants to just play that, we just remove the rare and put a basic land, you know.
Exactly.
But still is an unplayable for people that are starting. Let's say that they don't want to buy Shorokai and they buy the other commander. Oh, awesome. I'm going to buy the other one. Oh, sorry. It's not legal because you have Misfire Valley, I think it was called, the card.
It's the red green, like pay one produce, one red and one green land.
And then now in this commander and these commanders, people, and the thing is that we know because people from our play groups, we have our own chat, and they've mentioned, this person got three copies of the same rare in their commander. Another one gets two, and then you're like, that's because you got bad luck. But then you go to the professor's video of Magic the Gathering players always ask, is it worth it to buy the commanders? And when he opens the first one, I think it was the Obscura one, I don't remember, he gets two rares. Wow. Two same rares. And it happens on camera. Somebody that has 600,000 subscribers. So you're talking about a very high percentage, and probably he, not only those 600,000 subscribers watch his video, more people watch his video. So a lot of people will be like, okay, so I shouldn't buy the product because there are gonna be repeats in it. But then this is the new thing that's going on. So everybody in here in the Cardboard Cave, all of our hosts, Chris, JP, and Orengo, have our own chat, you know, to discuss future content or discuss the next episode. And then when I opened my three set booster boxes, I sent a picture to them showing them that two boxes gave me the same exact rares from the list.
So I'm just trying to pull up the picture now while you keep talking about that.
And not only that, in the third box, I got I got Omnixilis again. So I had three Omnixilis from the list. And it was like, okay, there's something weird going on. Because again, when you meet somebody that has been buying set booster boxes in all of these recent sets, because they bring more rares, that is what you want to do to sell in like your TCG player store or whatnot. In this set, there was not that many rares. And it was odd because I felt that I was opening draft booster packs with an art card on them. And that was it. Because I would be getting one rare or maybe two rares. And when commonly, when you buy the set booster boxes, you expect at least two rares and then your showcase card, if it does get included in your inside your booster pack. But it's sad. It's sad that we're getting this issue. But this is the biggest issue right now, that somebody here in Puerto Rico bought a draft booster box. And he got 11 copies of the same rare card. We blurred out, I cut the person's name because we didn't get to talk to him. Morengo tried to, but we couldn't find him. But 11 void rend cards out of a 36 booster box. And Wizard of the Coast wants to increase 11% of cost of the product to our local game stores, and we're getting mediocre product.
Yeah.
I wish people were commenting. Usually we do get people on Wednesdays, but you know, it's Friday. Everybody should be partying or playing Commander. But we're here, right?
We're here.
But the thing is, how can you Chris, just give me a shout out.
Same thing we've been saying, like, how can you justify an 11% increase if you constantly keep dropping the ball with your product? Like, just straight up. Mm-hmm. Like, you've messed up with your commander product, like with your latest commander product. You messed up with the previous commander product. I'm pretty sure that with each set that has been released in the last 2 years, there's just been some kind of issue that just pops up, you know. Either what was it? There were the thing is, every single set there's an issue with card stock quality, or with something like this, which is like how the cards are ordered or put into like boosters and booster boxes. And again, I just think it's insane. It's as if their quality department doesn't exist, or I don't know, like, is Wizards producing more product than they have like people to handle it or something? Like, there's just something about what's going on here that doesn't make sense, or at least shouldn't make sense. Because
you
could debate that Wizards of the Coast, because of like how much product they're launching, maybe they've become just more akin to a toy company, which doesn't really care if it sends a bunch of rejects out. It just sends them out, as long as people keep saying with their wallets, give me more, it's gonna keep happening. Like, this year, like these past 2 years in Magic, I've just heard so many complaints from content creators. We've complained so much.
Well, here's the picture. I got to find it. So
yeah, I was actually about to send it to you, but yeah.
Yeah. So we got two Upnixilis, two Thalia's Lieutenant, two Ruin Grinder, two Nightmares, booster boxes.
Yeah. And again, for those who aren't like too familiar with like the whole concept, every time you buy like a set booster box, you open up like your list cards, right? So you have your list of cards, your like 200 or 160, whatever you want to put it, right? Cards in your set. And then you have like, and one of your cards in the booster is going to be from the list, which is its own list of like 30 something cards, some of them which can be absolutely useless, and others which can be really cool rares and mythics from like, you know, certain chunks of Magic's history. And I find that I find the idea of the list amazing, but then you have the fact that you have a bunch of like commons and uncommons that aren't really that useful and that are from recent years, like they're from just like a set or two ago in the list, and there's just so many things wrong with the list, right? Theoretically, by how the list is supposed to be designed, the odds of you getting four list rares or mythics and on top of them to be the same ones, like that should be near impossible.
Yep, that should be near impossible.
I suppose not with whatever the heck it is that Wizards of the Coast is doing with their product now. This is insane.
I'm gonna mention the professor once again. I always watch the booster box game because I like it, you know. I like to see if he makes it, yes or no. If it wasn't because he pulled a Sensei's Divining Top from the list on that first box, he was going to whiff.
Only because of the Sensei's Divining Top, and the chances of getting a Sensei's Divining Top are
exactly insane. Oh, if I would have gotten a Sensei's Divining Top, I would be bawling right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be like, yes.
Definitely.
You know, even though it's not the one from the list is like going for $30 to $40, so it's not
That's all you had to say. Logging into TCG Player right now. actually, for our viewers out there, please, if you can get your hands on a copy of Sensei's Divining Top now is the time to do it, because as we all know, those cards will go back up to the $50 range.
Yeah, so, you know, the only card that never went down on price, even though it got a reprint, was Doubling Season. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it went down. I remember that thing. Doubling Season was down to like $25, and then now it's just back up to nearly $80, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, yeah, I'll check right now. I'm checking Sensei's Divining Top. Sensei's Divining Top, the one from the list, is going for, drum roll please, $42 is the most cheap one. And just in case,
it's already up back at $40.
Yeah. But just in case, for our viewers, if you guys think that the stores are overselling their products, probably they are, but just make sure to always check their shipping, because when you compare the buy list market price, they try to, you know, match the shipping with the buy list. So just make sure of that. So you said Doubling Season. Let's go. Doubling Season. Oh God, Jesus Christ. So
$75 at least.
Modern Masters is at $87.
Wow.
The Borderless one, and this is Borderless without foil, not non-foil, is going for $200.
Wow.
What the heck?
That's insane.
And then the most recent one, that was the one for, oh no, about, it did get reprinted in Double Masters. That's right. For Double Masters is going for $86. So the lowest one, the last card sold at a low price was $73.50.
That's insane.
Yep. So if you guys just go ahead and buy the Judge promo, it's for $134. It's way better, you know.
At least to kind of start to wrap some things up on this side of things, right?
Oh yeah, because there's some juicy.
Yeah, I know. But just to start wrapping some stuff on this on this side of the table, right? The only reason why I'm like kind of playing devil's advocate on this one, to a certain degree, right? I'm not 100% bothered by Wizards of the Coast like having an 11% increase in their product, because the market got inflated. I think it was like some, essentially they should have raised their prices like some 6%, or at least like a little bit more or less, in the past 6 years, because it's been 6 years since they had like any changes or increase in their product, and everything has increased in price in a ridiculous degree. And I personally expected like a 6 or 8% increase. I don't know if I ever mentioned it to you guys before, but yeah, like that's what I was like kind of looking at. But the issue that we keep going back to is that if the price is going to get higher and I'm just going to get the same quality or potentially worse at the rate things are going product, then yeah, I can't justify it. Like, there's no way Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast can justify an 11% increase in product. Like, something, they got to throw us a bone. Like, there's got to be something in part of Wizards of the Coast, you know, because they're asking us for 11% more and they're giving us nothing so far.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just kind of want to go through one of the, just really quickly through one of the paragraphs where it talks about, what's it called? Where it talks about, like, you know, the profits, right? So essentially it says operating profit of 106.4 million was 40% of revenue, which includes continued significant investments of Wizards of the Coast, such as product development, administrative costs, as well as higher paper and freight costs, partially offset by lower advertising expenses versus last year, which featured several digital gaming launches, increased inventory levels to supply and mitigate potential supply challenges. So I don't know if I'm reading this right, because I'm a little bit rusty when it comes to like economics and talking about this kind of stuff and like operating margins and stuff like this, right? But Wizards of the Coast had 40.5% of the revenue that Hasbro made. It like is that what I just read?
Yeah, for what I see and heard, I think so.
That is absolutely insane, considering how much of everything Hasbro owns. Like, you know, Hasbro is essentially like, you know, the Disney of like toys, you know.
Exactly. Hasbro they're
the Walt Disney of toys, straight up. And Wizards of the Coast, you know, this includes Dungeons and Dragons, our beloved game of Magic the Gathering, a few board games here and there. Well, actually not a few, a bunch of board games here and there. But we like the cardboard nerds did it, you know?
Yeah.
And on one side, this is great news for Magic, but this isn't as good news, because all I'm seeing is people saying, give me more crap product with their wallet, mm-hmm. while all the content creators and all the people in general with their mouths are saying, no, this is terrible, but you keep buying it. And this is like become like a theme of something that we constantly say in our podcast episode. It's like, dude, you can't just keep saying yes with your wallet and no with your mouth, because if not, Wizards of the Coast is never going to stop. Hasbro is never going to stop. They don't have a reason mm-hmm. to.
That is completely correct.
That was I'm done on that end of things. I don't know if you okay. want to like put anything in there, John.
But you nah, I think I'm done with this topic. I know it's been like a recurring topic for so long.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and just before we do the spoilers, let's go ahead and do some quick bits. So one of the things that were announced, if you guys just go ahead and like our Facebook page, you will see anything and everything Magic the Gathering related. So go ahead. So Dominaria United was announced. They didn't give us spoilers, but they did announce the packaging as well, what we're going to be getting. So there will be a pre-release. There will be set booster boxes, draft collectors, and the magical, and I really don't like, jumpstart booster boxes as well, or jumpstart boosters. So
jumpstart, we gotta do very soon, John.
Yes, we have to do it. Yeah, jumpstart draft should be super fun. So these are the products that we'll be having for the Dominaria United set. This is the next standard set that will be this year. Let me go ahead and remove that from there. I do want to mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to mention
on like the boosters. I mean, I still don't love the fact that we're still having to like contend with the whole like draft booster versus set booster thing. We've talked about this a million times, so I'm just not going to get into it again. But I enjoy the variety of product, and more than anything, I really, really, really.
We should make a poll in the Facebook page. Like, what do you prefer? Which of these three products?
To be fair, look, this is the truth. This is like a personal like preference, right? I do want to like reiterate that. I would be so down to eliminate draft booster boxes and simply keep Jumpstart. Straight up. Now, why is that like a hot take? Why is that controversial? First off, draft is really fun to play, so that's the reason why I personally just can't part with like the idea of draft booster boxes, simply because draft is a legitimately like super fun way to play Magic if you have the time and money to do so. However, Jumpstart is a better product than a draft booster box.
Okay.
Now, what's cool about Jumpstart and why, like, it's really funny that the day that we're going to talk about this is the day which I actually went out and got myself a Jumpstart booster box. Now, why is Jumpstart so good? First off, when you open up, like, you know, this first like Jumpstart, right, you do have the chances of opening stuff like an Allosaurus Shepherd, Cradlehoof Behemoth, Rhystic Study, a lot of really like really good staple cards that are going to be like your rares, right? And that in itself is already like pretty cool. It's like already an incentive to buy up to a certain point, right? But one of the things that makes Jumpstart so cool is that it is a product that is ready to play outside of the box, and it is a really easy way to introduce people to Magic and to introduce people to drafting without having to go through that whole process of like building. And in the case that, like, you know, if you just don't have the skill to draft, because drafting is a skill, it requires a lot of strategy, like lots of big brain shit, right?
Big brain moves.
Yeah, you gotta do some big brain moves to get a good draft going. But you know, if you don't want to go through all that hassle, pick up a box of Jumpstart. You just go to your local game store. I haven't seen a local game store that actually has an open booster box of Jumpstart in a pretty long time. But the cool thing about the Jumpstart booster box is that right now, I just open up this display. Yes, there are some boosters missing because I actually played some Jumpstart today.
Okay.
You got like your display booster. And if I picked up these two boosters right here, they'll have like a theme, whether it's like, for example, today Melissa and I played and I got dogs and doctor. And it's like a life gain deck, and then with like a dog sub theme, I guess. Because you got like the two different like themed boosters, right?
Yeah, so
for
exactly.
example, this could be dog, and this could be doctor, or it can be flyers, because there was like a flying one too. And that's it. That's all you need. You're ready to play Jumpstart. You're ready to play Magic the Gathering, in a 40 card format, right? But it's ready to play out of the box. You just buy this. You don't need anything else. Maybe dice if you want to be picky about it. But you don't need anything else. And that alone makes Jumpstart a good product. You know.
Yep.
It's something that, you know, you don't really have to. You don't have to have anything like previously set up or anything. If you, for example, just went right now, took a trip and went down, I don't know, Florida, went into a local game store, just wanted to play something, you saw some Jumpstart, and you're just like, hey, why don't we just get a pair of Jumpstart boosters? We test our luck and we actually have something we can play with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually really excited about the idea of Jumpstart, and I hope that Wizards of the Coast incentivizes playing Jumpstart by having some sort of like in-game event, like in-store event. Like, you know, maybe rewards for people playing Jumpstart. That way they'll push the sale of Jumpstart boosters as well, which I think is going to be really good for Wizards of the Coast and the general health of the game. Booster variety and a really good product that I really like, Jumpstart. So honestly, I'm really happy with that announcement.
Yeah. So like I mentioned last couple of minutes ago, give me one second, let me just pull a cable out of here. Like I mentioned a couple of seconds ago, so we're getting back our store championships. So we're not getting playmats, but we're getting promos once again. And they have announced the three promos for store championship that they are spicy as heck. We have Flame Slash, a sorcery that costs one red that does that deals four damage to target creature. Archmage Charmed for three blue is an instant.
$30 card one. Getting reprinted. Excellent.
Counter target spell. Target player draws two. Gain control of target non-land permanent with mana value one or less. And the amazing art and a very expensive card, Dark Confidant.
Dark Confidant.
In full art format, like no text, no
and
nothing.
And I'm gonna go ahead and assume that these are all foils too. So
yeah, they're all foils. They're all foils. So these are going to be our store championship promos. Let me see if there's anything else that.
Do you think that any of these are meant to be standard legal? As in, like we're gonna see like a reprinted Dark Confidant in the set.
That's why in the post, if you guys, I did share it to two groups. I shared it in a couple of groups, and I do want to say something right here in the podcast. I want to thank all the groups in Facebook that do support Cardboard Cave, that they let us share our ads and as well our podcast. So thank you all for all of those Facebook groups that let us share our content. So
definitely.
That's why
we gotta get their names on like a list and shout them out.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been a great help, honestly.
So,
thank you guys.
One thing that I did post, if you guys, whoever's watching us or listening, if you guys go to the Cardboard Cave podcast Facebook page, I do have a question. Dark Confident in standard?
Yeah.
So it would be interesting. One more thing, quick bit. The Dungeons and Dragons of Baldur's Gate Commander Legends will start their live stream on May 17th. So more spoilers of that. We're gonna go ahead. There's a couple of spoilers that were announced. Not spoilers, but reprints that are coming at Double Masters. So we got Bring to the Light in its showcase and regular form. And pre-release, I think that's what it says here.
That's for Masters 22, right?
Yeah, Double Masters 22. So apparently this is a release card. It's this different artwork. Obviously, one of the reprints and spoilers was Collect, Butcher of the Truth.
A classic.
It's borderless form, yes. And showcase.
Didn't that Kozilek also get reprinted in the previous Double Masters? Or am I wrong?
No.
I know there was like some Eldrazi in it. And even that Liliana of the Last Hope, that's, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
Let me see. Kozilek, Butcher of the Truth. It was printed in Modern Masters 2015. Ultimate Masters. It was an Ultimate Master box topper.
That's what it was. I was thinking about
List and Rise of the Eldrazi. That I think this is the first set. Yeah, the first set.
Yeah. Yeah. Never mind. So, I thought it was. I confused the set. But yeah. Okay. I guess that's fine.
So we have Liliana the Hope, the normal one. The borderless one that I love the art. I want it just because of the art. And
insane.
Obviously the showcase one. We got Weathered the Wayfarer. It's land tax, but obviously with a tap ability, so it's good, but not that good.
I mean, we got Weathered. Mana. It just depends.
In, like, another, the problem, in another art form.
The problem with Weathered is just like, it's a little, it can be a little slow, and it still like takes one. It takes one to give you one if your opponent is
exactly
if I, like is ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind
of. And then we got Ren and Six. It's getting reprinted at last. We got it's Borderless, and then we got it's Showcase. Those are the cards. I'm not gonna remove it anymore. So let's go ahead and look at the other cards that were spoiled. So one of the cards that were spoiled last week, it was last week that was spoiled. I don't know why I clicked it, but sure, why not? So this is for the Battle of Boulders for Boulders Gate Commander Legends set. Is Sevlor Eltrul Exile. He is a Grixis N1 legendary creature tiefling warrior. He has haste and he has this tap ability that you pay 2 mana and tap. When you next cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets only a single opponent or a single permanent, an opponent controls this turn. For each other opponent, choose that player or a permanent they control, copy that spell, and the copy targets the chosen player or permanent. And he is 4/2. This is an interesting card.
Yes, I kind of enjoy it. I've been enjoying the really chaotic play with your opponent's stuff theme that I saw in Capenna and that I've seen with this with Zevlor. That's really fun. There's actually another card, I can't remember if it was in the same colors, that also has like a pretty chaotic effect like that. Really like it.
Okay, let's give Mythic Spoiler a second.
He needs to think about it. Hold on.
The set that a lot of people have been waiting for, I again don't know why I clicked it, because they are readable. Okay, Abaddon, there you go. There you go.
Spoiler. And this is
Warhammer 40K.
Very much awaited Warhammer 40K set that's coming up.
Yes.
The thing I'm not clear on yet with the Warhammer 40K, because I noticed that they have like the secret layer like triangle at the bottom. So is this going to be a secret layer product or is it just going to be a commander product?
No. So apparently, this is going to be a product that you will be able to find in your local game store. But this is the catch. They will have two products, apparently. They'll have the normal commander and then they'll have one that's a collector's edition of the same commander. So they still have not given that much detail, but for all of our viewers and listeners, I will make sure to watch the weekly MTG show on the Warhammer, like that can give you more insight in the Warhammer 40K commander products, because when they did say presented the product, you can see in the pictures that are available in our Facebook page that all commanders have like a regular style box, one that says collector's edition. So probably it is an LGS product. At least the collector's edition probably will be the one that you can find as a secret layer, but it would be very vague in part of Wizard of the Coast to do this, because this is a product that a lot of people have been waiting for, not only us, Warhammer 40K fans have been crazy and craving these cards. And they have cool mechanics as well. So let's go ahead and go for the first commander. That's Abaddon the Death Spoiler. It's 2 and Grixis once again. It's a legendary creature, Astartes Warrior. Astartes, I think that's it's mentioned, has trample and it has an ability called Mark of Chaos Ascendant. So it's a chaos chaos
Ascendant.
I forgot the name of the from Warhammer. So it says during your turn, spells you cast from your hand with mana value X or less have cascade, where X is the total amount of life your opponent have lost this turn. Under, and then he has a flavor text. Under his rule, there is but one creed, chaos shall reign. And it's a 5/5. I love this card. I really do want to build something out of this one.
Looks amazing.
Yes, it does look amazing. So you can go ahead and read the next one.
All right, so we got Blood for the Blood God. This is hefty boy. Is an instant that comes out for 8 generic mana, 2 black and 1 red, so a total converted mana cost of 11. The spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature that died this turn. Discard your hand, then draw 8 cards. Blood for the Blood God deals 8 damage to each opponent. Exile Blood for the Blood God. Fun. It's a wheel that deals damage.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of that mana cost, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, you wipe the board or somebody wiped the board and congratulations, you just wheeled for 3 with an additional card in hand because you get 8 cards.
It's a good card for Commander because if you go against a play group that plays tokens or that just enjoys playing with creatures.
Enjoys just going wide with like creature based red.
Exactly. Yeah. And somebody's like, hey, how about I cast a Blasphemous Act? And then you're like, oh, 10 creatures died. This costs 3 mana. Oh, okay. So at the end of your turn, before you end your turn, at your end step, I'm going to cast this. I'm going to discard my hand. Draw 8 cards and deal 8 damage to everybody, obviously except yourself. Jesus Christ, it's like, wow, love it. I really do like it. The next card is Vanguard Suppressor. It costs 3 and 1. It has an ability called Squad, so it's a new mechanic that says, as an additional cost to cast this spell, you may pay 2 any number of times. When this creature enters the battlefield, create that many tokens that are copies of it. It has flying. It has an ability that's called Suppressing Fire, that whenever it deals damage, combat damage to a player, you draw a card, and it's a 3/2. It's interesting. How about I make infinite mana? Make infinite copies of this card. What do you think about Chris? I don't know if Chris is there.
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. So, Chris, what do you think about this card, Vanguard Suppressor?
I think it's just so much fun, man. The whole concept of like having like a squad, I really enjoy it. I'm not a fan of that converted mana cost, like that mana value. I'm not a fan of the mana value, but other than that, I think it's a pretty fun card. Like it's something that I would love to see like pre-cons take advantage of. It also takes a great advantage of any kind of like big mana or infinite mana strategy in which you just say, okay, I have infinite Vanguard Suppressors and I pass turn, or you haste them. I think it's a card that has
in this deck.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think it's a card that has potential. I might be underselling it, and up to a certain point I kind of hope I am. I just don't, you know, it's not something I can just play and curve and get that much value out of. But I do appreciate it. Like, it's really cool. It's a really cool card, and it's still a 4 damage, you know, like deal damage with this and draw a card. Pretty cool.
No, yeah. The next card is a card that we've seen already, and it says promo.
Favorites.
It says promo on the bottom. So probably this is a card that you might get in the collector's edition. Again, this is something that is still not widely explained.
Ooh,
but this might be in
the... imagine just including like a special like commander's
special
booster
reprint
with each of your exactly, like a special commander's booster in which you get like a bunch of saucy reprints every time you buy a commander product.
That would be interesting. Yeah. And either way, Fabricate has already it will be getting a reprint right now in Secret Lair.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad it's a card that needs a reprint for the simple fact that don't get me wrong, there's, it's not that Fabricate is like bad, like, but it's not an $8 card, I feel. You know,
you think, but it's the only card, like, if you think about it, it's the only card that lets you search for your library for an artifact.
Yeah, I know. You know, everything else that exists is either really expensive or on like the reserved list, which is prohibitively expensive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still not an $8 card. Like, it doesn't sound like $8. It sounds like $5 to me.
Okay. You know?
Like, I totally understand how powerful the card is. I totally understand that you can just straight up look for an artifact that can just end the game where it is. And I don't know. I'm just not feeling it.
So, obviously, these are the cards, like I mentioned, from Double Masters. They only showed us three Planeswalkers, Bring the Light, Bring to Light, and Weathered Wayfarer. You know, so these are basically the cards that were spoiled because... we're going to be back in spoiler season once again and during this next couple of weeks. So it's like everything's going to go crazy from next week on. That's what I'm going to be saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's going to be freaking insane.
Let me go ahead and show before we go ahead and say our goodbyes. I'm going to go ahead and show the... whoever's watching us, and as well, like I mentioned before, if you guys want to, just go ahead and go to our Facebook page. So these are going to be the commander decks that are going to be available. So if you see Necron Dynasties,
before you do that, talking about that like packaging, I do want to like highlight the Universes Beyond label. Like, we're finally getting our first like Universes Beyond product, which I'm really excited about. Like, I'd love to talk some more about that too, but yeah, go ahead, John. Mm-hmm.
So we got the Necron Dynasty, like I mentioned. So you have like your regular product, and then you have a collector's edition product as well. Our next commander is Force of the Imperium. Same treatment. Yes. Tyranid Swarm.
That one looks like so much fun, man. There's a lot of people that
the
were like
Ruinous Power.
Nice. It's the one that's already been spoiled.
Those are the Those are the commanders that are going to be from Warhammer 40K.
Well, I want to go ahead and check out those that Tyranid Swarm for a second. If I'm not, like, there were a lot of people kind of speculating on what the Tyranid Swarm would be like. Some people were speculating that they would be kind of like slivers, in which they kind of like give each other abilities to be able to like make a really like a snowball kind of board. And there were other people that were talking about comparing them to Eldrazi, because I'm not exactly too well versed in 40K lore, but from
you don't know where to start.
That's what I've heard.
Unless you are like paying attention to Humble Bundle, it's something that I've been wanting to get, but every time I remember, the bundle is already done. But Humble Bundle usually does collaborations with IDW and the publishing company that has the books, and you can get for like $25 basically the whole collection of OG 40K until we're at, for a very nice price, you know. And obviously Humble Bundle is for all of the things that you buy is for a good cost.
Definitely.
So yeah, the issue with 40K is that you don't know where to start. That's the only issue. Unless you play the games. If you play the games, you can get a good story standpoint.
Yeah.
You know. But just to tell everybody again, you know, this is going to be great seeing the Universe Beyond. I'm super excited about it. I do want to see more. I do hope that Wizard of the Coast does not make this a product that you will get for Secret Lair. I hope that they make these products for your local game store. Because the more things that you add in the Universe Beyond, let it be, let's say, DC.
Fortnite.
Or Fortnite.
Yeah, that coming up soon, didn't we?
Exactly. But having these big characters or memorable characters in the Magic the Gathering circle, that's great. Because, hey, what would be nice for Shuriken? A couple of Power Rangers. That would be amazing. Or an Evangelion collaboration. I don't know.
Yes,
or a Gundam collaboration.
Please. Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many things that they can do.
Like when they first announced Universes Beyond, we all gave our opinions. Like, same thing that I said before. Like, oh, I don't know how I feel about like mixing all these IPs, blah, blah, blah. Now that it's actually like happening, the only thing I have to say is like, I guess that what doesn't bother me as much about the whole thing is the fact that Wizards of the Coast is finally taking advantage of something that's been happening in the Magic community for years, and it's making proxies and making like different editions of a card, or just giving it like you're just making a proxy with another art style or with another IP. So in general, I think it's pretty cool. I like the way that they're doing it so far, like making it, like not putting this product in standard, because that way it doesn't have to really brush like on the story or anything. Because D&D to me is a lot more, what's that word? Like a lot more like acceptable up to a certain point, because D&D is supposed to be like this whole like multiverse setting, whatever, but you can still trace like their, you know, like the magic setting and the D&D settings, like you can see where they can kind of intersect, and they're all part of like the same people publish them, so it just doesn't feel as weird as when you go in with like other franchises like this one.
Yeah, exactly, because it's not the same thing as you're saying like, oh, I'm gonna make a campaign of, let's say, Doctor Who or Star Wars, but those are not under the Wizard of the Coast brand, so they're under other publishers like Crucible 9 or any other publisher out there, so they're not in the same universe, but they do have, you know, certain similar mechanics, but all of them have different style of like usage of dices or how to create your character. So it's very interesting, but having Universe Beyond makes a bigger world where in the future, if you do want to theme out, let's say, your commander of whatever you like, you can, because the cards will be available, you know.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's amazing on how we're getting at with Wizard of the Coast in terms of product, even though we rant about them every time. But that's what it is, guys. It was a very, very spicy podcast. I wish that JP and Orengo were here, because I know that it would have been 2-hour podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. 2 hours at least, especially talking about that 11% increase and all the, man.
Yeah.
I just hope things get better. You know what I mean?
No, like, I hope so too. You know. I do hope so too. So, Chris, where can the people find you?
Well, guys, you can sometimes find me on my Twitch. I was streaming some Elden Ring the other day, so I've been doing that. I know I'm like up to a certain point a little bit late to the bandwagon, but I haven't had that much time to put into Twitch. But I assure you, I'll be doing some stuff. You can find me here in the Cardboard Cave podcast, and you can, you know, interact with all of us through our Facebook page, because, you know, we mostly are a bunch of old people. That's why we haven't done our Instagram and our tickety talks yet, but we will get to some of that stuff really soon. And John, more importantly, before we get to you, where can they find the rest of our beautiful Planeswalkers? I know JP, as always, can be found here in the Cardboard Cave podcast with us all. But what about Orengo? This man can be Googled, and where else can we find this man?
So Orengo, you can find Orengo at the Movie Guy podcast, as well as at his Facebook page and podcast called Cinemas. You can actually, like Chris mentioned, you can actually Google him and look for his short films like they can see, because he is a filmmaker. As well, he does do write for The Nerdy Basement and for Real In Films as well. He is in Cine Nerds, that's with 15 and Rich Port.
And John.
So he's everywhere.
We're missing you. Where can we find you, my guy?
So me, it's easy. The only thing you have to do is just go ahead, pass by realinfilms.com. We're basically everywhere. We're at Instagram, we're at Twitter, and we are at Facebook, as well as our website. If you guys love movies and want to see the most recent pre-releases, press releases of different shows or movies, you can pass by our website. And as well, like I mentioned, Orengo is part of the critic of the critics from that website. You can find me at The Movie Guy. I do have my own show, Up Left Right, that we're going to be talking about. I don't remember what movie I mentioned, but I think we're going to be talking about Uncharted probably this month. So there you can find me there. As well with Orengo at Subtitles Required. I know that we have not launched a new episode because we both have been really busy. So it's been kind of hard to record. But basically just find me there, Real In Films, and obviously here at the Cardboard Cave podcast. That normally on Fridays I do stream Arena. That's what I've been doing these past Fridays. So it's more content for you guys. So I do hope you guys have a great, amazing week. Again, please be safe, and I will see you in the next one. And again, here's a little message from our local game store. Hey geeks, do you love comics, collectibles, and TCG? Well, here at Cardboard Cave, we have the place for you. Pass by Capitan Granuja Comics and Games and find all your favorite geeky items there. Look for them at Facebook or Instagram, or call them at 787-659-7003. A store blessed by Nicole Bolas.